You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.AB.ca. Joins us, Butts. How you doing, my man?
I am really good, Jason. How are you doing?
Good. Now, before we get to anything, I know last week you teased us with, hey, I want to talk Connor Bedard and Braden Point. So what would you like to discuss about Connor Bedard and Braden Point?
So I've looked at it in this regard. Like, you know, we know Connor Bedard is a really good player, and he's performed at an exceptionally high level this season. So now, to me, it's not as simple as just, oh, he makes the team. There's got to be a place for Connor Bedard. And, you know, Point's already named to the team. Reinhardt's already named to the team. So right now, there's nothing that would indicate that Connor Bedard's going to take those guys out of a spot. But here's why I would have Connor Bedard on my team now. Because Braden Point, injured, hasn't had a great start to the year, obviously. Obviously, John Cooper knows what he's capable of. But in the event that Braden Point cannot perform at the level, I think that that's the spot where Connor Bedard could step in and play. So at the very least, I'm going to have him as my 14th forward, and that's why I would have him on my team, to mitigate against the loss or maybe not the ability of Braden Point to play at the level that we've seen him play at.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, right? He hasn't played to the level that they would like just yet. I don't think there's any debate about that. Well, it's his own level, and he's been really good. And the thing is, Tampa Bay's in first place, and Braden Point has done very little so far, which might make Tampa Bay a little bit scarier than people think right now. But yeah, I could, like, the way Connor Bedard's playing, it's going to be hard to keep him off the team. I look at the other guys, like I look at Konechny, and I look at Jarvis, and I look at Hagel, and guys who are on that team, Mark Stone, who's now back. But I just am like, are you telling me that Connor Bedard isn't going to be better than all them? Like, I think he is. I like Mark Scheifele, Celebrini. I think there's going to be four new forwards on this team, Craig. Maybe five.
Yep. Well, I have all those guys that you mentioned, Scheifele, Celebrini on the team. So, again, Konechny, to me, is not on the team. Mark Stone, not on the team. So, again, I'm just trying to, I don't think, they're trying to form, why you'd have, I'm just telling you my rationale for Connor Bedard. It's not, he's not going to unseat Sam Reinhart.
Yeah.
He shouldn't unseat Mitch Marner. And if Braden Point's playing at the level that he's capable of playing, he shouldn't unseat Braden Point. But in the eventuality that you have players that are a little bit hurt, and John Cooper's going to know that better than anybody, or not before, you want somebody that can go in there. I don't need it. If you're losing your scoring, you're in trouble. You can lose a checker. You can't lose a score. I'm just telling you my rationale for why I have Connor Bedard on the team.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I'm with you. I think it makes a lot of sense. So it will be fascinating. About a month away from having to announce that team. And the one thing, Craig, in this month, that when you look around the NHL, my goodness, guys seem to be dropping like flies. Although Dostal's the latest one. Jack Roslovic in Edmonton is out now again. Kapanen got hurt in practice, for goodness sakes. There seems to be, and I'm going to go through my NHL buddy, but it seems to be more injuries this season.
Well, I think there is a lot more injuries now. It's a really compacted, compressed schedule. And so, let's combine three things here. The level of intensity and competitiveness in the league now is unbelievable. The speed that the players play at, how hard the game is. It's hard. It's hard in a different way than it used to be. Number two, the compressed schedule. That becomes a real significant thing. And now the lack of rest, the lack of recovery leaves you more susceptible. And the playoff race starts on October 7th. Doesn't start in January. It starts on October 7th. And so that factor, everything that goes with how fast the game is played, how intense the players are, how tight the games are, and then no recovery. Don't be surprised that there's going to be so many injuries at this point. And don't be surprised when we see more.
Yeah, well, you're probably right on that, which is unfortunate.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and that's. But you know, it's one of those things. If you want to have the now, you could always start the season a little bit earlier, and I think that would be I think that should be open for discussion. No question. I know they're planning on doing it next year, but on years when you have the Olympics, I think you should start a bit earlier to compensate. So there's less wear and tear in the players. I know it means a week or two short of an off season, but whatever. I think it's something you could at least consider. For sure.
It's a week or two shorter for the teams to go to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
Okay? 16 teams, okay, are out in the middle of April.
Yeah.
Another 8 are gone by 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Okay? And I know we're talking, but when we have a league-wide scenario where things are falling off, that becomes really significant. That becomes a real challenge.
Yeah.
So to me, when you're looking at these types of things and you're looking at how you try to mitigate against them, that's what you got to look at. And to me, again, starting the third week of summer, we have outdoor games in Los Angeles and Florida and Tampa Bay and Dallas. Like, give me a break. We can start playing games in the latter part of September. And the hockey fans are going to be into it. And we don't. It doesn't matter if we're going against the NFL or college football or Major League Baseball. It doesn't matter.
Yep. No, I agree with you. It's not going to matter significantly overall to, I think, your bottom line as much as some people like to think it would be. There are a few teams, Craig, that, you know, I look at and we get deeper into the season and like there's no one really who's separated other than Colorado and maybe Dallas. Dallas, you know, and Minnesota's really starting to roll. They had another big win here again today over the Colorado Avalanche, but the Avs still get a point. They've only lost once in regulation, which is wild. But I look at a team like the Winnipeg Jets, and now we've had a week of no Connor Hellebuyck, and they're 0-3, and I should check, I think they lost in Carolina, or they're losing, yeah, they're down 3-1 with 2 minutes to go. So if they don't have a miracle comeback, they'll be 0-4 without Connor Hellebuyck. Now, it's not like they've given up a ton of goals. They're not scoring any goals, Craig, but you were 12-7 with him. Now you're 0-4 without him. And you've got a back-to-back. Now you play Nashville tomorrow. Then you play Monday, Wednesday, Friday, another Saturday game. This is, it sounds crazy, but a 10-day stretch here with the Jets. Like, I thought they had to go at least 2-3-1 in these games. You end up going 1-5 or something. You dig yourself a real big hole because Colorado, Dallas, and Minnesota are flying. You're then begging for Utah to slow down.
You're exactly right. Listen, like, you know, Connor Hellebuyck, we know. I mean, you don't end up being the MVP of the National Hockey League by accident. I mean, his brilliance is known. And I think that the Winnipeg Jets have played better defensively. When you have backup goaltenders in the net, you're going to get backup goaltending. The backup goaltender, and Eric Comrie is a wonderful backup goaltender. He's not a starter. They're going to have to really evaluate. Do they have to go out and look at a short-term solution here? They very well may be that team that has to do it and looking at their season. Because you start to fall behind. Like you just said, the Central Division is tough. And, you know, Chicago's playing well. You just talked about Utah, right? We know where Colorado, we know where Minnesota and Dallas are at. Well, all of a sudden now, you're looking up and you're looking up. And you're not seeing daylight. And now that's 2 weeks, that's 3 weeks. And the goaltending is not going to change, Jason. It's not going to change. You're hoping, you're trying to make sure. The big reason they're not getting as much offense now is because they're trying to tighten up defensively, and they have. They've been a good defensive team in years past. In recent games, they've improved and gotten better. But you start now to fall behind, and you're trying to protect your goaltender, who are backups, minor leaguers. You know, Thomas Milch is not ready for the NHL, in my view. You better seriously start examining. You got to bring somebody in to kind of plug the hole right now, because it's a significant hole.
Oh God, it is, right? Speaking of filling a hole,
people say, but we know how much offense they have. But like, when you got to start to tighten up defensively, guess what? You're not going to be as good offensively. You can't be.
No.
And so now you got a double-edged sword that you're staring down. That's gonna cut deep if you don't address it.
Yeah. I look at you know, addressing that goaltending issue, and I think in Edmonton it's foolish to want to blame everything on the goalies. I got all the numbers to tell you that that's not the case. Now that being said, the goalies could play better. I firmly still believe, Craig, that in a perfect world, you bring in someone to improve on Calvin Pickard who can battle with Stuart Skinner. And I think the cost to do that is going to be less. Because otherwise, if you bring in someone just for Stu Skinner, well, then you still have the backup. His numbers for last year and a half, goals saved above expected, everything like that, aren't necessarily great. That, to me, is like move one. Would you start the smaller move first? Like, usually when you're doing a home rental, Craig, you don't do the big thing. Oh, my God, it's the worst thing. Let's try this first, see if it works. If not, then we'll go to the next one, which is a bigger move. What do you think they should do in their goaltending in Edmonton?
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, we all love Calvin Pickard, right? And he's a great story and what he did last year, and we know how beloved he is by his teammates. That's great. Guess what? You need wins. You need better goaltending. And I think the way you frame it with Stuart Skinner, having somebody that can push him and challenge him, ease the burden on him, I think that becomes... Listen, when Calvin Pickard was playing really, really well, that was what he did. He eased the burden on Stuart Skinner. And now Calvin Pickard is playing at one of the lowest levels of any goaltender in the National Hockey League. So that's not good enough. And yeah, we can talk about Stuart. Stuart is what Stuart is. Okay. I don't think he can expect anything more from Stuart. Stuart is what he is. So how do you improve your goaltending? You don't like, yeah, you're right. You can go and get a clear cut number one and upgrade on Stuart Skinner. Good luck. Good luck finding that guy. Teams aren't looking to give him. I know people say, well, what about Jordan Binnington? Like, I'm not so, like, you sit here and you hear this stuff, and I'm going, like, yeah, okay, I understand why you want Jordan Binnington, but do you think the St. Louis Blues are throwing the towel in on their season? They're not. And when you start to consider how you try to improve in that position, I think you look exactly in the area that you just pointed out. That's where I'd be looking at it. You know, you think about, like, and there's goaltenders available. And Devin Cooley, who was a really good goaltender in the American League last year. Now, I'm not suggesting that, like, he's, but that type of guy, he's now become a real important player for the Calgary Flames to ease the burden on Dustin Wolf. There's guys like that out there. And you talk about acquisition costs. That's how you got to look at it. Short term, see where you can get to. And then if you got to do something bigger, then you do it.
Yeah. Well, I would agree. Now, here's a guy I looked at, Craig. And he's got some NHL experience. He played today for Anaheim, who lost Dostal for 2 to 3 weeks. Ville Husso, who was in the minors. He's their third goalie. When Dostal comes back, they're going to either have to put him on waivers or maybe that's a guy you look at. What's your thoughts on Ville Husso?
100%. That's exactly the type of guy you got. He's better than Calvin Pickard. And you're looking for short term, right? You're looking for short term. You're not trying to get a guy. I know, like, you know, Mark Dinney and I did something yesterday where we talked about, like, the ideal guy. Yeah, you Soros would be an ideal guy. First year of an 8-year deal? Okay. Like, is that what? And maybe you look at it, but you think that cost is going to be, like, insignificant? It's not going to be. So exactly what you said. I mentioned a guy like Devin Cooley, okay? I'm just saying what he's done, so the Flames have him. But that type of a player is exactly the type of player you go and you look at. I was listening, watching, reading. I mean, we all read and listen. Like, Laurent Brossoit. Well, like, Laurent hasn't played in 2 years. And now you're going to ask him to come in and save it? I think that's a reach.
Yeah, no, 100%, right? Like, I think that is... That you're putting way too much pressure on someone like that. Like, who knows what he's capable of? Like, he's got to go play in the American League first. I just think he has to. Right? Like,
he's 33 years old. Okay. Yeah. Like, I mean, he's had major surgeries. He hasn't been able to play for 2 years now. And what? He's just going to miraculously come in and play? I'm not taking that chance. Full stop.
Yeah. Nor would I. I think it's too big of a risk. Like, and that's why, like, I don't. You know, I've seen the talk about Tristan Jarry, and then there's like Jarry and Carlson for Nurse and Skinner, and I'm like, what? I'm sorry, I don't see how that makes the Edmonton Oilers better at all. Eric Carlson's not a better defender, and I don't think they need more offense.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. You know, but again, you know, you get a lot of noise in the arena, so to speak. And certainly the noise is a little bit bigger in the Canadian market and certainly in Edmonton where, you know, their aspirations to compete for a Stanley Cup are there. But bottom line is, I mean, some of the ideas that get thrown out there, I mean, I just, I shake my head. Like, I saw something today on Steven Stamkos, and we're a good fit. Now, I can tell you right now, one team told me, they said, like, where do these guys get this information? Because, or where do they start speculating? Because we have no interest in Steven Stamkos. Not today, not tomorrow. They can give him to us for free. Yeah. We don't want him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you look at his...
Where would be a good fit for Steven Stamkos? Yeah. Give me a break.
Yeah, like, he's got 7 points, Craig, making $8 million.
I'm just telling you what a team told me.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. He's got 7 points, making $8 million a year. Like, who... Like, I could see there being interest for Ryan O'Reilly, for sure. But Steven Stamkos, like, the guy's got 7 points playing, you know, 17-29. Now, do I think Steven Stamkos can be a better player than he has been in Nashville? Probably. But when you throw in the contract in a cap world, right, it's like, well, would I take Steven Stamkos for 2 years at $4 million? Yeah, I could see somebody being interested. Somebody, not everybody, right? Because you do wonder if Tampa Bay was just a little bit ahead of the curve in knowing where Steven Stamkos was at. And now maybe it's change of, you know, he's not playing with Kucherov and Point and all those other guys, right? So maybe there's that, or maybe he just is slowing down a bit.
I would say to you, Jason, teams better get ahead of the curve. If you're not ahead of the curve, you're going to be anchored.
Yes.
And, you know, Steven Stamkos is an automatic Hall of Famer. He's been a great player, great Tampa Bay Lightning, great person, okay? But the best before date has come. And if you don't recognize that, Bill Belichick called it dispassionate assessment. Trade a player a year too soon, or let a player go a year too soon, and having them a year too long. This, oh, you got to keep them. Listen, I remember, and Doug Armstrong had a great comment. Darrin Hatcher was the captain of our team in Dallas. Great captain, great player, awesome for the All-Star. They couldn't get to an agreement. And the argument came down to, like, well, geez, where's your loyalty? And Doug Armstrong told the agent, he goes, you want loyalty? Get a dog.
Yeah.
That's dispassionate assessment. And let me tell you this, Doug loved Darrin. Darrin lived with Doug when he was a young player and he was breaking into the league. It wasn't about that. It was about what's best for our team. So, you know, the fan base is, oh, my God, how can you let him go? Well, go ask the Tampa Bay Lightning fan base right now if they wish they had Steven Stamkos.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You can't let emotions run your decisions.
No. And that's the noise, right? Yeah. And you better be careful of that noise, right?
100%. Craig, what are you watching hockey this weekend? Where are you?
I just landed in Denver. I'm going to do the Canadiens Avs game tomorrow afternoon. So flew down here this afternoon from Calgary. That's why I had to come on a little bit later. So appreciate you accommodating me. And I'll fly back to Calgary tomorrow night. One and done.
So you want to go watch that borderline average exciting team that's only lost once in 24 games. Not bad.
I know. And then Chicken Little, the sky was falling a little while ago in Montreal. They've won three in a row and two on the road against Utah and against Vegas. So,
it's a huge win for them. Colorado, though, look at this. They lead the NHL in goals 4-4. And they lead the NHL in goals against at 208. Like, they are a juggernaut right now. No question right
now. They are.
Yeah.
They are. They're on pace. I think going into today's game, Mike Kelly at SportLogic put something out and said they're on pace for 139 points. That would break the Bruins record.
Oh, yeah. Well, would. But
yeah.
ask Tampa and Boston how those 60-win seasons. That's what's crazy and heartbreaking about the NHL. It's a whole new season. Once you get to the playoffs, it's crazy.
It's so true. So true. So anyway, you have a good weekend. Good chatting with you. We'll talk next week.
You betcha, Craig.